I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles today to 1 Timothy chapter 4 as we bring to a conclusion the subject of the walk of a good minister of Jesus Christ. The walk of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Avery's already gone out, but it was good to have Patty's granddaughter Avery with us this morning. Good to see Pinky's daughter Cindy with us today again. Praise the Lord for you. And Mary Stoops' daughter-in-law for the first time, Sarah. It's good to have Sarah with us today. God bless each of you, and thank you for coming today. I should not need to remind you, but just to get everybody on the same page, when we talk about a good minister of Jesus Christ, that word minister means servant. And it's far more reaching and broader than just the person who stands behind a pulpit and does the preaching. The word minister has the idea of every born-again Christian who is using his spiritual gifts to minister within the world. First of all, to the body of Christ, to edify, build up the body of Christ. And secondly, for evangelization. As we are in the world, we are to be proclaimers of the truth of salvation by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And so as we fulfill those ministries in the world, we are ministers of Jesus Christ. Some of the words and thoughts today are going to be geared primarily toward Timothy, instructions to Timothy, exhortations to Timothy. Timothy was a minister in the term that we think of a minister as an overseer of the church, a pastor, a bishop within the churches of Ephesus. And we don't know how many, but there were quite a few house churches scattered throughout the large metropolitan area of Ephesus of Timothy's day. And he was the primary overseer of that work. And so Paul is writing to Timothy to remind him of some things concerning the ministry that we all should take to heart. And beginning in verse 6, we were looking at the qualities or the marks of a good minister, a good servant of Jesus Christ. We continue that and bring that to a conclusion today. We're looking at verses 14 through 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to begin with verse 13, which we've already covered in our study thus far. But we're going to include that because as I studied this a little more closely, I realized that verse 13 is really part of the closing remarks. All of these verses are closing remarks for this section of Paul's discourse on the walk of a good minister of Jesus Christ. I know you've been standing a lot today, but I think standing for the Word of God is the most important thing to stand for above all the other things. Would you stand with me again as we read the Word of God? First Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the message that Paul had for Timothy. May we take it to heart. May we look for application. May we seek to be more like Jesus Christ as we live to the glory of God, using the spiritual gifts, Lord, that you've given to each and every one of us as believers. May you speak to hearts today. There's not one of us here without a need in our life. We're all growing. We're all somewhere in the journey of eternal life on our way to heaven if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Meet the needs that we have spiritually, and the needs of our family, the needs of our loved ones. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to go through the list and review the eight areas that we have studied so far. They're there on your outline. You can look at those. We're going to look at three more giving us a total of 11 in this section, 11 characteristics or marks of a good servant of Jesus Christ. This section in verse 6 began with these things. Verse 6 says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." We have said many times in our study so far, and just to remind you of one thing, these things refers to the entire book of 1 Timothy. All of the exhortations, all of the commands, all of the advice, all of the warnings, all of the cautions that Paul gives to Timothy apply to you and I. And so we are to be careful of these things, and we are to hold them dear, and we are to practice them in our Christian walk. These things that we see again in verse 15 tell us that this section is coming to a close. Paul's bringing this section on the walk of a good minister to a close, and the closing remarks continue into verse 16 as well, even though these things is found there in verse 15. We could actually look, like I just said a moment ago, at verses 13 through 16 together as a whole, because those are the closing remarks of this section, as it appears to me. And in these closing remarks on the subject, Paul's not so much talking about the preparation of oneself for ministry as he is talking about the maintenance. We need to maintain our good works. Let your good works so shine before men that they may see your good. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the good works that Paul is describing throughout the six chapters of 1 Timothy, and we're not finished. We still have two chapters after this one today to look at. And so as we do that, we are allowing the maintaining of the work of the Lord to go on. So let's get right into the remaining three characteristics or qualities. First of all, in verse 14, we see that a good minister does not neglect his spiritual gifts. He does not neglect. Paul said by way of direct command to Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Don't fail to use the spiritual gift. As believers, I firmly believe that every single believer in Jesus Christ has at least one spiritual gift, one ability that the Holy Spirit has given you personally and uniquely to be used for the upbuilding of His kingdom. And so we are not to, we're to seek to find out what that gift is. And the way you do that, the primary way you do that, is you get busy serving the Lord. Wherever you feel your talent or your talent lies, you are to make take opportunities to get involved in using that gift. If it's teaching, look for opportunities within the church to teach. If it's evangelism, get out and share the gospel with someone on the street, with people you meet, and so on. But all of us have some kind of a gift, and that is unique to us, and the Holy Spirit directs us in the use of that gift, and we're to be using that gift for the upbuilding of the church and for the evangelism of the lost. And so Paul says very simply, very directly, very clearly, do not neglect that gift that is in thee. And he uses the word singular here, even though we believe that Timothy had a multiplicity of gifts. He was definitely an overseer or a bishop. He was he had the gift of pastoring and teaching. He had the gift of helps. He had the gift of administration. But the gift or gifts that is in you, do not neglect to use them. In other words, what we're saying is that every single believer should be fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gave you these gifts. The Holy Spirit teaches you how to use these gifts. The Holy Spirit opens doors of opportunity for you to use the gifts. The Holy Spirit increases your ability to use the gift as you grow and mature in the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit is involved. You get that impression? It's all about the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And we need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. We need to allow Him to use us. We need to allow Him to work through us. And as we do that, we are not neglecting the gift, as Paul warns Timothy to do, not neglect the gift that is in thee. And again, Timothy obviously had the gift of pastoring and teaching. He was an overseer of the believers in Ephesus. He had tremendous responsibilities. It was his duty to guard and protect the sheep. It was his duty as God's under-shepherd to always be alert for dangers, wolves and heretics coming into the congregation and damaging the teaching of the doctrine. He had the gift of being ready to serve at all times, but first and foremost, the gift of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very important for ministers of the gospel in the sense of a shepherd, pastor, teacher type minister. And a minister of the gospel is recognized as being anointed by God to preach the gospel. Paul goes on after he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. You say, what in the world does that mean? Was there some prophecy in the Old Testament that indicated that Timothy was going to be this minister? No. The idea of prophecy has two ideas. When we think of prophecy, we think of foretelling the future. And there were prophets given, men of God who were given the ability to foretell future events. And most of those were written down in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ himself was a prophet. He foretold future events that were going to happen, like the destruction of Jerusalem and so forth. He prophesied his own death, burial, and resurrection. But a prophet not only foretold, but there were also men of God who forthtold truths that were evident, truths that were obvious, things that God was revealing to people. These men would forthtell. They would tell people what was going on, what they saw God doing, how God was moving among the church, and so forth. And so this is the idea of the prophecy here, the gift that was given thee by prophecy. What Paul is saying here is that there were men in the church, men in Ephesus, who recognized that Timothy had spiritual gifts. They recognize, man, you've got a gift. You can teach. You can preach. You're a great overseer. You're an elder of the church. Just a young man, but you've got so many qualifications and so many unique abilities given to you by the Holy Spirit. We recognize that. And there are men in the church at times that we also recognize that God's hand is upon them, that God is probably calling them to ministry, that God is directing their lives, that they are gifted by the Holy Spirit to do the work of ministry in the pulpit. And so this was given to Timothy. The gift that he's referring to here was given or revealed to the church by the foretelling, the prophecy of men in the church. And then it says, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. There we're talking about the fact that God had ordained Timothy to go into the ministry. God had called him. God had anointed him for service. God had given him the gifts of the Spirit to do the ministry. And now it was up to the church to recognize that, to see that God had called Timothy and to ordain or approve of the fact that we recognize, not approve of the fact, but to recognize the fact that we know Timothy has been called by God to this ministry. And I'm going to go over, you don't need to turn there, but I'm going to turn back to Acts chapter 13, where we see a good example of this taking place in the early church. In Acts chapter 13, we're in the city of Antioch. Interesting place, because the Bible mentions that's where the Christians, that's where the believers were first called Christians, was in the city of Antioch. And it says there were in the church, so the church was already active assembled there in the city of Antioch. It was operating as a local church. But there was in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered, we notice that they're already active, they're already ministering to the Lord. And as all of these men were ministering, it says they fasted. The leadership of the church is expected to fast and to pray and to take the matters of the local church very seriously. And this is what they were doing. They were fasting and they were praying. And the Holy Spirit spoke. And the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, don't miss this, in verse 3 it says, they laid their hands on them. That's what we call ordination. That's human ordination. And I'm pleased to announce something that you probably already know. We have a young man in our congregation today that we have recognized for quite some time now that he is gifted of God. He has the marks of leadership. He has the wisdom of God. He has the spiritual gifts of teaching and preaching and many other gifts as well. And one of these days coming real soon, we're going to lay hands on Zach and we're going to ordain him to the ministry. Now, he has to go through a council and questioning. So be praying for him because he's going to be examined. That this whole group of men that are going to be coming together, and I don't even know who they are right now, but there's going to be a group of men who come together, and they're going to question Zach for hours on his Christian walk, on his beliefs about the doctrines of the Scriptures, on his qualifications. And when they, if they, I'm assuming they will, recognize that God has ordained him to the ministry, they will signify such by laying hands on him and approving him for the work of the ministry. That's an important step in biblical obedience to the Lord. And this is what was happening here with Timothy. Paul says, don't neglect the gift that is in thee, which was recognized by men in the church and who spoke and said, we recognize that Timothy, you are ordained of God, and we want you to continue carrying on the work of the ministry. So we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to ordain you to the ministry, even though God has already ordained him to that position. So a minister of the gospel is recognized as being appointed by God to preach the gospel. And there's so much more involved than just preaching the gospel. And so many Christians neglect the gift that they have. Many Christians today are powerless and fruitless and joyless because they are not using what God has given them by way of spiritual gifts. And you might be sitting here today thinking, I'm not sure what my spiritual gift is or even if I have one. Again, I assure you, if you are a born-again Christian, you have a spiritual gift, at least one. And it behooves us by the Word of God to examine our lives and see where our interests lie, because God will give you the interest, the desire to serve if you're truly born again as a Christian. And you will have that desire to serve in the area where your strengths lie. And God will show you and He will direct you into the use of your spiritual gifts. So yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God as He opens the doors of opportunity to go through those doors and use those gifts. Okay, number 10. A good minister also gives himself wholly to the Word of God. And again, these are closing remarks, so this is kind of a summary of everything we've been talking about in verses 6 through 10, 6 through 16. A good minister gives himself wholly to the work of God. Paul says it this way, verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Several interesting things I'd like to point out in this verse. Meditate. We kind of have an idea, right, what it means to meditate. It means that we should think seriously about the gift that God has given us and the ministry and the responsibilities in the church, the work of God inside the church and outside the church in evangelism. We're to think seriously. We're to dwell upon our calling into the service of the Master and upon the responsibilities and duties as God has bestowed them upon us. We should allow our minds to be deeply impressed with these things and make them the subject of profound and serious thought, being very sober and considering these things. The words of David in Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, should be exceptionally challenging as we evaluate ourselves in light of this passage of Scripture. Am I a good servant, a good minister of Jesus Christ? The psalmist says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Paul says not only to meditate upon these things, but give thyself wholly to them. That's an interesting phrase. In the Greek, it literally says, be in them. Meditate on these things and be in them. Well, what does it mean to be in them? Well, it means to be literally spending time in the Holy Scriptures. Be in the work of teaching and preaching the doctrines that are contained in the Scriptures. It kind of has the same idea of John chapter 15. We're to abide in the Word of God and let the Word of God abide in us. And it's to affect the way we live, the way we talk, the way we act. We're to give ourselves wholly to the ministry of God's Word. And the servant of Jesus Christ is, you know, he's never off duty. We've said this before, and I say it again. There's never a time when we should be off duty. We are called upon to serve the Lord as He calls us to do so day or night. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul reminded Timothy to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. That means, you know, when it's convenient and even when it's not convenient, when it's easy, when it's not easy. Be ready always to preach the Word of God, giving due diligence to that, as we talked about a week or so ago, this idea of due diligence in these areas that Paul is reminding us we need to be careful and perform the work of a minister of Jesus Christ. Speaking of his own ministry of preaching the gospel, Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, I also labor, striving, what a strong word, powerful word, striving according to His working which worketh in me mightily. Who's working? The working of the Holy Spirit. As Paul was preaching, he recognized that God the Spirit was working through him to bring conviction upon people as they heard the Word of God and to teach the believers things that the Word of God was challenging them to do. And so, in other words, the Holy Spirit is working hard to convict lost sinners of their need of salvation. So that means that you and I should also be working hard. We should be working hard at winning the lost to the Lord. He that winneth souls is wise, the book of Proverbs says. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostles appointed deacons to take care of the physical work of the church, saying to themselves, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And Timothy would have fallen in that category of not necessarily an apostle, but as an overseer of the church, as an elder in the church. Paul commended the ministers in Achaia, saying, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's a great saying, isn't it? I'd like to see that on some epitaphs of great ministers on their tombstones. They were addicted to the ministry of the Word of God. And that's 1 Corinthians 16:15. As servants of Christ, there's five things that I'd like to bring to your attention that we should be frequently reminded of, since we need to meditate on these things and give ourselves wholly to them, that our profiting might appear to all. Five things that we should be frequently reminded of. Number one, the work of the ministry is a high calling. The work of the ministry is important. There's no other work. You ladies might think my most important work is my housework. Your housework is vitally important. We thank God. We're going to be celebrating Mother's Day next Sunday, and there's no way in the world we'll be able to say enough good about the mothers and the work that they do. But you know, the sharing, the bringing up of your children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord is far more important. The time you spend training them in the things of God, that's the important work that we should focus on. The work of the ministry is a high calling. Men of God, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Are you using it? Are you asking God to open doors of opportunity for me to be used of the Lord? Met a dear man at the rescue mission Friday evening. He is 68 years old. He's dying of cancer. He has a weak heart. He stops breathing. He just, without warning, there in times of his life, he just stops breathing and loses consciousness. He was driving his car a couple of weeks ago, and he just stopped breathing and went unconscious and totaled his car. And now he's not only homeless, but he doesn't even have transportation. But all of those things working against him, and the doctors are saying, you know, your heart is so bad, you could die any day. He's got a ministry street ministry where he goes out and he ministers to hundreds of people, men and women, who just got out of jail, prostitutes, sexual perverts, drug addicts, all kinds of street people that are homeless, people that are just so lost and so much in darkness, and every day he's out on the street talking to them, witnessing to them, reading the Bible to them, praying with them, and leading them to the Lord. He said, you know, there's been dozens of men and women. He had to leave Hagerstown for a period of time and go back to Cumberland where he used to live, and things didn't work out there. So because of his medical condition, he ended up a few months later having to come back to Hagerstown. And when he came back from Hagerstown, he was amazed at how many people he kept running into on the street and saying to him, we're so glad that you're back because you led us to the Lord, and we want to hear more. We want you to read the Bible to us some more and explain things to us a lot more. And so we're so glad that you're back. So we know that his ministry is being effective. And none of us have any excuse. There are things that we could do if we would ask God to open doors of opportunity for us to serve him. Maybe it's not what we're thinking, a position in the local church. Maybe it is a teaching or a preaching or a singing or administration position or something, using your spiritual gift. But there's somewhere, some way that God, if he gave you a spiritual gift, he wants you to use it. He wants you to be using it. And so we need to be reminded that the work of ministry is a high calling. We are servants of the Almighty God of heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Secondly, we need to be reminded that we should be wholly devoted to the work of ministering to others. Wholly devoted to the work of ministering to others. Pastor Don Smith down at Shenandoah Bible Baptist, he used to say so many times in his sermons, he said, so many Christians just sit soaking sour, when instead we should be serving and rejoicing in the Lord. And so that is so important, that we be devoted to the work of ministering to others. Life's not about me just sitting down and being comfortable till the Lord comes. God's got something for me to do while I'm here. Thirdly, we owe fully committed allegiance to Christ. Why? Because Christ has given so much to us. Christ died for us, folks. He suffered unimaginable cruelty and horrific terror at the hands of his enemies before he even got to the cross, shedding his blood and giving up his life on the cross and finishing the work of redemption for our souls. Christ has done so much for us. We owe our committed allegiance to him. That's number three. We owe full For we owe fully committed allegiance to Christ because he gave his life for us. Number four, we should be reminded that we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of how we used our time, talent, and treasures. We're going to give an account of the opportunities that God did give us or would have given us if you ask. You have not because you ask not, or you have not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lusts. If we were to ask God, Lord, what can I do for you today? What can I do for you in the next month or the next year? And we would be surprised at the doors God would open up. But as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to look at our life and we're going to see all the time that we wasted and all those spiritual gifts that we didn't even realize we had that we could have been using. And then fifthly, we will receive rewards based on our allegiance to our Christian duties and our diligence in doing our Christian duties. We will receive rewards based on our diligence. And then we come to point number C, the testimony of your success will be visible to all. Still there in verse 15, that thy profiting may appear to all. What's that saying? Well, the word profiting there, it could be translated progress. People will notice your progress, your accomplishments, and your progress in the Christian walk, and your accomplishments, the things that you do with your life, will encourage others to strive for excellence in their service as well. It will encourage other Christians to get busy and do the things that God has called them to do. The word profiting was a military term which was used to speak of an army that was making advances. You know, an army that's on the offense is going to try to take more territory and more people, more equipment, and so forth. And so as they advance, this word profiting, well, your profiting will appear to all, your advancement, your progress, your accomplishments. The Stoics used to use the word to speak of advancing in learning and understanding or knowledge. The Stoics were really big on education. They really strongly emphasized that a person should learn all they can and become the most equipped that they can possibly become in education and philosophy. And so profiting is advancing in those areas. It could be used to refer to the strenuous efforts made by a pioneer who is out blazing a trail to new territory. And so that's profiting as well. A good minister should always be advancing in Christlikeness. We should always be growing. As Peter says in the last verse of his second epistle, we should be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we should be a living epistle known and read of all men. And so we have a lot there to think about. As Paul says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So a good minister or servant of Jesus Christ does not neglect his spiritual gifts. Verse 14, he gives himself or herself wholly to the work of God. Verse 15, and then finally, the closing remarks in verse 16, the concluding exhortation, a good minister is very careful to continue in these things. What things? The doctrinal teaching of God's word. So Paul says, take heed to thyself. In other words, pay close attention. Pay close attention to two things, he says. First of all, pay close attention to thyself, yourself. In other words, what that means is pay close attention to everything related to the ministry that is personal in nature. It has to do with your personal walk with the Lord. It has to do with your perseverance in the faith. It has to do with your prayer life. It has to do with your manners, the way you behave or conduct yourself in public. It has to do with your habits of living, or that New Testament word that we're always running across, your conversation, your manner of lifestyle. It has to do with your relationships. We have to be careful how we treat one another, not offending people with our words, keeping ourselves morally pure. It has to do with that. It has to do with our work of leadership and our fulfillment of our responsibilities. And then I just put et cetera, because we could go on and on. Take heed to thyself. Be careful. Pay close attention to all of these things. Secondly, we need to pay close attention to the doctrine. To the doctrine, Paul says, and unto the doctrine. Make sure the things you teach are true. Make sure it's truth. Make sure it's founded on the Word of God, that it comes directly from God's Word. Again, we could refer back to verse 6 where we started. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, and of good doctrine. Good sound doctrine, not false doctrine, but of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And if we would go all the way back to chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, and verse 3, Paul, you remember, instructed Timothy to make sure that the false teachers did not teach other doctrine. So there's two areas there. You have to be careful what you teach yourself, that it is the truth, and then you have to also be able to detect when false doctrine is being taught and put that to a stop. A lot of responsibilities here. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." We're to avoid people who are not teaching the truth. We're to avoid and not allow the doctrines to be taught that are contrary to the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, we are warned to be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Again, the same idea. Not everybody in the world who calls themselves Christians are teaching the truths of this Bible. And so we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in some of the modern day teachings that does not come from God's Word or is contrary to God's Word. And then his instructions to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 were, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity or very serious mindedness, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned." All of these references from the Apostle Paul indicate that he was very concerned about the teaching that goes on in a local church. Very concerned that it be the truth of God's Word. Or as Frank Gabeline wrote, "All truth, with a capital T, is God's truth." In other words, if it's not in the Bible, it's not true. We need to be very careful that whatever we say and teach can be supported biblically in the Bible. And then in Hebrews 13:9, we are told, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." And the Apostle John gives a stern warning in 2 John 1:9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." Very strong words. If we're teaching false doctrine, we are not of God. The expected result, "For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." The true goal of a good minister is that some people might be saved. Not everybody who hears is going to be saved. But you should expect that if you're using the Word of God as it is the Word of God, and you're preaching it to people as they are, sinners in need of salvation, the Holy Spirit's going to do His work and use the Word of God to bring people to salvation. That statement has troubled some. He says, "Thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." The truest sense of this statement, of course, is not saying that all the work that a minister or a servant of Christ does will produce his own salvation or her own salvation We're not saved by works. I think we know that. I think we're intelligent enough to realize by now that we're not saved by works, but by grace. But the idea here and the point is that by teaching and preaching and listening to the Word of God, people will be convicted of their sin and the fact that they're lost and without Christ, and they will come to salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Albert Barnes says, if a minister should be the means of saving but one soul from the horrors of eternal suffering and eternal sinning, it would be worth the most self-denying labors of the longest life. Let not then the faithful preacher be discouraged. A single soul rescued from death will be a gem in his eternal crown, shining brighter by far than ever sparkled on the brow of royalty. It may be, as we bring this to a conclusion, it may be that God has spoken to your heart through something that was said in today's message, or maybe something that we've said earlier in this series on the walk of a good minister of Jesus Christ. And the question that I would have for you today is have you or are you willing today to start putting that into practice? Maybe something about this idea of being called by the Holy Spirit to use your spiritual gifts. And some of you sitting here might be saying, you know, I think there's a lot more that I could and should be doing for the Lord. I believe God's given me the ability to do more than I'm doing. And by God's grace, I'm going to surrender to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, Lord, here I am, use me. I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and say, God, use me for your service. Let me look for opportunities. It could be that maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, what you need to do is resist the devil. The devil's been hounding you. The devil's been trapping you. There's besetting sins in your life that have been weighing you down, keeping you from being fruitful, hindering your prayers. You need to surrender that to the Lord. You need to say, Lord, I want you to take all of me. I want to open every door in my heart to you and not keep any closed. I want you to have freedom to enter any and every area of my life and take use of it for your glory. It may be that you need to, maybe you've heard the Holy Spirit saying, you know, it's time to start sharing some of the responsibility and burdens of ministry. I need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the work of the ministry is not on the shoulders of one or two people or a half dozen people. The local church is full of people that have to work together for the glory of God to make sure that we're all growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we're all sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ at every opportunity we can. Maybe I need to get out and faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to be sharing the message of salvation with others. Whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking, it could be a dozen other things. Are you willing today to put these things into practice? Are you willing to surrender to the Holy Spirit to say, here I am, Lord, use me? Application, application, application. Amen? And so, in an effort to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross, we need to work together. Or perhaps you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know that he died for you on the cross? Has it ever occurred to you? I know you've heard it. Chances are there's nobody here who's not heard the message of Jesus coming to this world and dying on the cross for your sins. Do you believe it? Have you received his gift of eternal life? Are you ready today to admit that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior? Is this the moment right now that you might be ready to receive Christ as your Savior? You say, why do I keep putting it off? I know what I need to do. I know I need to be saved. Tomorrow could be too late. Why do I keep putting it off? Today is the day of salvation. And maybe the Holy Spirit's saying to you right now, this is the moment to trust Christ. This is the moment to say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need you to forgive me of those sins, and I need you to save me and give me the gift of eternal life." What's God saying to you today? Tell Him in your own words that you know that He died for your sins, that with His precious blood He is able to cleanse you from all your sin. Tell Him that you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and His gift of eternal life. Thank Him for His forgiveness and for all your sins being forgiven, and for receiving Him, receiving you into His family. Our Father in heaven, as we hear the showers coming down and hitting the roof this morning, we're reminded of the showers of blessing that you have bestowed upon us. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And it hasn't been that long ago we talked about the fact that those spiritual blessings are innumerable. We could never begin to list all the things that we have in Christ Jesus. And so today, Lord, as we come to a close of this section on the walk of a good minister of Jesus Christ, we know that we have your blessing. We know that we have been born again by the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. We know that you've called us into ministry. We know that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And dear God, help us to listen. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and yield ourselves to Him today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.